Welcome to the Andrew Cordell Show, where we discuss real money from real estate. Andrew Cordell gives advice based on firsthand experience. Andrew has experienced the peaks of the real estate market, the lows of the market crash of 2007, and he has taught himself how to rebuild his successful real estate business from scratch after he lost it all. He now helps others learn how to find their own success through his experience, mistakes, and triumphs. And now, your host, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, experienced investor with over 140 houses flipped in only 18 months, Andrew Cordell.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about making real money from real estate investing. And we got a great success story here in the studio with us today. We're going to be talking about two different success stories. And the first one here, I'm really excited to talk about, as he's got a start at a young age of 17 years old inside of real estate investing. He's also, as always, a member of the National Association of Real Estate Investors. He's a member of that as well as I am, and I'm also the founder. If you would like more information about how you can become a member of the National Association of Real Estate Investors to be able to network and also gain knowledge and instruction in real estate investment, you can simply call 1-800-537-3440 and get more information about becoming a member of our association. Nathan, I want to get started talking about your interesting story about investing in real estate and all the different paths that you chose inside of it, because given your sort of background story here, you've been investing for this June will be 20 years of investing that you have. So that's a lot of experience you have in real estate investing. And I want to sort of pick that brain of yours and help some of the listeners out today as they try to figure out whether or not they should be a real estate investor, get involved in real estate investing, or maybe change a strategy in real estate investing. Because I noticed here you have some really cool different investings that you've done before. You've done obviously the buy, fix, and hold as rental properties, single family rentals. You've also done some buy, fix, and sell. But also you bought some hotels and motels. And not only that, also some mobile home parks, a little bit of commercial stuff there. So I want to sort of get a broad span of all this type of investing that you've done, some of the positives, some of the negatives. You're also a licensed real estate agent, as well as used to carry a mortgage license as well. So I know you got a lot of experience here, and I'm excited to dive into all of your knowledge, wisdom that you have in inside of real estate investing. So let's start back, Nathan. I think your story is going to relate to a lot of listeners today that might have went through some stuff that you have went through as well as a young kid growing up. So tell us a little bit about and I know you started at 17 years old, but let's back up a little bit before that. Sort of tell us where you were in your life, what you were doing, what happened at 14. Sort of give us a background of what got you into real estate investing. And then after that, I'm going to come back on and talk to you a little bit about the deal that you got into as well.
Sure, sure. So I started real estate, like you said, when I was 17. But long before that, I'd really been an entrepreneurial. I've been kind of entrepreneurial minded, but a lot of that was really just because it was focused on our family.
Yeah.
My father pushed us a lot to get into business, whether he wanted to ride us and try to make a little cut off of our income or whatnot. He pushed us in business. So, I mean, even at the age of 10, I had a candy little store out of my house that I would open the windows at 2 o'clock and close at 4:30 that kids would come to, and made a pretty darn good living at that point.
And so you understand, because you told me this earlier, it was a split level. So you were sort of on the bottom floor where they could walk right to the window. And it was basically like a drive-through for candy when you were a young kid there.
That's right, for the neighborhood kids.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Until I ate the inventory, and then we had to move on to something else.
What else did you do growing up, though, as far as entrepreneurial stuff?
So I did a paper route for a little while. I also started a cleaning company, a couple cleaning companies, in fact, and ran those until about the age of 17. But going back to the point that you mentioned, when I was 14, I wrote in my journal that I was going to do real estate. And,
wow.
And I knew it. I knew I wanted to get into real estate. So at the age of 17 that you mentioned there, I had the opportunity to stay up a little late and saw one of the infomercials and decided to purchase a program. Yeah, and got right into it. And from that point, I couldn't put away real estate. Started looking at real estate, finding real estate books and people and contacts. And so
now I want to back up to a second, because being so young, like you said, you were 14 years old. Was there anything that happened when you were 14 years old or before that that made you think about real estate? What is it that made you write that down in your journal? Do you remember?
As far as writing anything on the journal, I just knew real estate was a successful way to live life because I had seen it. Now, my father wasn't very successful, but truthfully, none of them actually even thought I could do any of this. None of them thought I could do real estate or many of my businesses that I had had a chance to run on those. So I think really as I saw what successful people were. I'd see them on the TV or I'd see them around.
Sure.
And so for me, it was, I want that, but I also wanted to prove not only to myself, but everyone else that I knew I could do it.
Yeah. So at 14, you decided to, that you wrote down, I want to be a real estate investor. At 17, you're staying up late at night. You got a little cleaning business on the side here. You're staying up late at night and an infomercial comes on. And it's a guy selling a real estate program basically on TV.
That's right.
And you end up buying it for $100, but how do you end up having to buy this $100 program?
So I didn't have the money for it. So I actually had to go and beg my wonderful mom to allow me to use her credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I promised I'd pay her back the $100 that I,
And did you pay her back?
I did.
You did pay her back. Good, good, man.
Of course.
And so, you know, I know how that feels as well. I borrowed money from my mom and dad as well, trying to get into real estate investing many times. So you're 17 years old. You get this package, this program about real estate investing. I'm assuming sort of like I did. I started a little bit later. I was around 21 when I started going through the educational side of things. I was just devouring anything I could get my hands on, books, CDs, DVDs, tapes. I even dating myself a little bit. So there's some audio cassettes. I think I was listening to. Is that sort of where you were going through about the age of 17?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the first program. And from there, I probably own 30 or 40 books, real estate related programs, contacts. I mean, I couldn't get enough of it. I knew I wanted it.
So you go through this educational process. When do you make your first investment?
So my first investment was at the age of 21, almost 3 years after that, because, you know, shortly after I had purchased the program, I turned 18, 3 years after that, I joined a group. There were five of us that got together, went ahead and purchased a couple of rental properties that didn't turn out to be the sweetest deal, but we definitely jumped in quite about that.
Yeah, but I want to talk about, because you mentioned something before we started on the air here, that between 18 and 21, although you were not investing, you began to network and sort of understand the process of how everything worked. How valuable was that networking that you were doing back in the 90s?
It was the only thing that honestly pushed me through. So going back a little bit further on that story, when I started about 17, 18 years old, I went ahead and started calling realtors and convinced a realtor to come pick me up, to be honest, because I didn't even have a car to drive around. So I convinced a realtor to come pick me up, and as I opened the door, he stood short of me. I stand about 6'1". He stood short of me. He looked me up and down and then brushed past me and said, "Are your parents here?" And then for the next 45 minutes, the realtor and my father berated me on how I can't do real estate.
Wow.
And so from going into that, I just kind of come pushing forward. I went to a real estate club. It was hugely important for me.
Yeah.
Because as I sat in the real estate club, I sat towards the back, two rows from the back. I was too nervous to get involved. They had a haves and wants piece with a little success story following that. And this couple stood up. And mind you, I was 17.
Yeah.
As I was looking, they stood up, and I remember thinking, "Oh, here are these ugly people." I know. That's probably not the appropriate way to say it, but this will be great. They stood up, and they went ahead, and the gentleman said, "We just finished our fourth deal this year," and it was about March. Fourth deal this year for $40,000.
Wow.
And at that age, about 18, I was only making a little over $22,000. So for me, that was huge income. Huge.
Yeah.
And as I drove away from the real estate club for the very first time, I remember entering the interstate and thinking, "Oof, I can do this. If that couple can do it, I can do this."
Yeah. So you were sitting there thinking, man, and I honestly, you know, I remember going through the same thing, going to some events and different promotions that were happening or whatever. And it wasn't even people that were up there giving a success story. It was the teacher. And I remember there was one point I was there with a friend looking at this teacher who was up there teaching everybody else how to do real estate. And I said, if this guy is a successful real estate investor, there is no doubt in my mind that I can be a successful real estate investor. So I know exactly what you're talking about, how you see that and you're thinking, okay, if they can do it, I can do it. And that really, that also helps create the motivation of moving forward. Because, you know, if you saw that perfect specimen of a human that was all successful and never had any struggle, you might think to yourself, well, okay, I can understand why he's successful, but I don't think I can get there. And but I didn't have that. And it sounds like you didn't either. You sort of meet. And honestly, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a run-of-the-mill guy, blue-collar family. But I've gotten involved in real estate and became successful all for real estate investing. So now you speed up here. You're 21 years old and you make your first real estate transaction, and you partnered up with five different investors, sort of maybe like a small, I'll say a corporation or small fund that you guys have sort of together here, and you guys go out and make an investment. What do you buy first?
So we buy two rental properties right away from that.
Now, was there anything that made you buy rentals versus a flip or a wholesale deal? What made you do the rentals?
You know, the biggest reasons that the person that we deemed the CEO wanted to have some passive income that we could hold on to that would help to drive our company forward. So we always had kind of money coming in instead of out of our pockets. That's why we really went for some rentals initially.
Okay. So the partnership, you guys decide to buy some rental properties. You find some rental units and you purchase the rental properties. What happens next?
From that, I realized it's not going to go well for us. And so, and not only that, our group wasn't primed to continue to move forward correctly when it came to that. So I knew I had to do something. So what I did is I sold out my ownership back to the partnership and I got out. Yeah, and luckily, I actually kept myself safe in the whole transaction.
Yeah, because uniquely enough, I know we don't have enough time right now because we're about to go to break, but that ended up being a huge fraudulent deal, not from your guys' standpoint, but from the people that sold the deals from you, ended up being a disaster because it was a fraudulent transaction that they had committed, and then, of course, drug the partnership down as well. But you actually were already out of the transition, out of the corporation at that point, so you sort of salvaged that disaster happening to you personally because you were already out. And I know you went on to do another deal. I want to come back right after the break, talk a little bit about maybe that fraudulent deal that happened and then how you moved on from it. And your next deal that you did was a $320,000 house. I want to talk about how you did that $320,000 house when you were only 21 years old in your investing career. Right after the break, guys, we'll be back with Nathan Street and his success story in real estate investing.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Cordell Show.
The problem with the American dream is waking up in your 40s stuck in a nightmare, working too many hours for too little money. What if you could break that cycle, supplement your income, and actually sock away some money for retirement? Or better yet, be your own boss. Keep more of what you make because you're working for you. Well, now you can, and people just like you are doing it right here in Making Money Now Without Risking Any of Their Own Money. Find out how in Andrew Cordell's brand new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line. The cost? Zero. Andrew has arranged for his sponsors to help pay for shipping and handling. Just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Live the American dream on your terms, starting with a simple phone call. Call 1-800-524-0720 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-0720 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-0720 now. That's 1-800-524-0720.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate. And I got Nathan Street in the studio with us today talking about his success story that he's had in real estate investing. We sort of covered Nathan getting going. He was 17 years old, bought an infomercial, bought the program, got connected in the local clubs here, just like NAREIT, the National Association of Real Estate Investors. At 21, he makes his first purchase of two rentals. He partnered up with five guys, and they make a decision to buy rental properties. They ended up buying two of them. And Nathan, we sort of left off there where that transaction actually becomes a fraudulent. And I want to be clear here, not on Nathan's standpoint, not on the partnership standpoint, but from the sellers who sold them the deal, that actually becomes a fraudulent transaction. And I want to sort of pick up from right there because that's tough when you get going and your first deal ends up being a fraudulent transaction and you're in a group of five investors. So I want to sort of talk about that for a little bit. And then also, I want to talk about this next deal because it leads into you do some hotels and motels. And I know you don't have time to talk about those, but I at least want to get to that point where you were getting into the hotel business. So, Nathan, pick up what happens. You decide to get out of your partnership before the fraudulent, you guys discover that the sale was a fraudulent sale. Is that correct?
That's right. It was mainly because the group just didn't know how to act like a group, and that was a big part of it. But I knew something wasn't right, so I went and sold my ownership off right back to them.
You sell your ownership off to them later on. Now that you're out of the deal, then it comes out that the seller, again, not even your group, but the seller sold a fraudulent deal, and they end up losing your old partners, the four of them. They end up losing these two rental properties completely.
That's right.
Yes, they lose the entire assets. You really came away as good as it could have been, unfortunately, but as good as it could have been, because you could have still had part loss in those deals. Instead, you were able to sell your shares before it happened. You come away clean. Of course, your partners are clean as far as the fraud. Again, I want to make that clear, but they did lose the houses. So you go on to your next deal. You buy this house for $320,000, and you decide to go on your own, right? No partners this time, minus hard money lenders. You get a hard money loan. You do the buy, fix, and sell. What happens on this deal?
So on the deal, I went ahead and purchased a $320,000 house, picked it up. I was only making income at that time of $28,000. I couldn't even manage the payments on my own if I wanted to. But went to a real estate club, found the hard money lender who was willing to lend it to me, went out there and purchased the property and paid for the entire fix up and purchase and transaction itself with hard money lending, and went and sold it and made a little bit of a profit for myself right away. First deal out of the gate.
So you made some profit on that deal, but you found out you ended up holding that property for too long.
Yep.
And eats up a lot of your profit. Of course, that's one of the downgrades of working with hard money lenders. Of course, there's a lot of positives, such as you'd have never got this deal done without one. I'm not against hard money lenders. But it, obviously, if you, because of the interest rate, if you end up holding it for too long, it does eat up a lot of your profit inside of that deal. But you end up making some money on this deal, not as much as you should, but you do make some money on this deal. And you continue down this path of buy, fix, and sell for quite some time, right?
That's right.
You sort of stick with this strategy of I'm going to buy, I'm going to fix, I'm going to sell. Repeatedly, and then eventually that leads into your hotels that you end up purchasing, sort of. And you got that for, I'm assuming, for the cash flow reasons.
It was, and my whole idea is always to have the cash flow coming in. But as you know, as I purchased them, got into them, like I mentioned before, it wasn't really my cutter way of doing it, but I really enjoyed it nonetheless because it was a great learning experience, and we made a little money on it and enjoyed it. For the learning mainly, yeah.
Yeah, that is one of the great things about real estate investing is every deal seems like it's a learning experience because you always are picking up new things that happened that you could have did better, et cetera. I know you got into hotels and motels and mobile home parks and commercials and so forth, mortgage license. I know you got a vast background here in the last 20 years of real estate investing, and just sort of coming to the end of this whole segment before, I want you to give some advice to those that are trying to get in real estate, or maybe they already done a deal or two, how they grow their business coming from someone who has got 20 years experience. What would you tell that person that's trying to either get started or build their business?
Well, Andrew, that's a really great question. And we spoke just during that break there that my honest belief, honest, true, heartfelt belief is you've got to get around like-minded people.
Yeah.
There's a quote that I like. It's, if you want to fly with the eagles, don't dwell with the turkeys. Mm-hmm. And I formally and completely, truly believe that. And real estate investment clubs is the ideal way to do that. Because for us, we're always going to have that disconnect. But people at these associations are real. They only live 10 miles from you.
Yeah, they're local.
They're local. And so for me, that was the biggest number one thing that I could have done for my life at the very beginning of this real estate. It was going to see other people doing the same thing I wanted to do.
Yeah, I like that quote. I'm going to try to repeat it, but if you want to fly with the eagles, don't dwell with the turkeys. Did I say that right?
You got it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's so true, and it's amazing to me. Out of all these interviews that I do with success students, that's really one of the common denominators out there. I know it's a big thing for me as well, is that you got to hang out and surround yourself with people that are doing what you want to do, even if you're not doing it. That's why, again, I'm not trying to plug NARI. We have 6,000 members. I'm trying to explain, and just like Nathan's trying to explain, that one of the common denominators is that you are connected in with a group. You are connected with people that are like-minded and trying to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, because without it, you can get lost really quick. And again, Nathan, I think you even mentioned that without networking environment, you might not have ever even did that deal at the age of 21.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have. So I had some of my favorite people come through the real estate clubs, real estate groups like this, and those networking.
Yeah.
That's my realtor. That's the other context. That's people that were willing to take me under their wing and just let me learn and grow. So extremely valuable.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I want to take away for the listeners today. Is number one, there's going to be a lot of naysayers in your life. You know, Nathan sort of mentioned some of his, even his own father, as well as the first realtor he ever mentioned, just told him he couldn't do it and gave him a tongue lashing, basically. And that's going to happen to people. It happens to everybody. So you cannot let that stop you. You cannot let that defeat you. You cannot let someone who says that you can't do it get in front of you and not let you accomplish what you want to accomplish in life. And the other thing is, like you said, if you want to be successful, hang around those people that are always successful already. Guys, I hope you enjoy this interview. Next, we have coming up another success student with Earl Klein, and he'll be talking to us today about his success student also being a NARI member right after this break. So stay tuned as we talk about Earl Klein and his success in real estate investing.
Money may not buy happiness, but with enough money, you can buy whatever makes you happy. An ordinary job won't get you there, but an extraordinary book will. Andrew Cordell's new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line, tells in plain English how to make more money and create wealth from real estate. And we'll send you the book free if you call us now at 1-800-524-4284. Get your free copy of the book full of easy-to-understand ideas to help you build wealth without risking any of your own money. Andrew's sponsors have graciously offered to help pay for shipping and handling. All you pay is $195 and they'll cover the rest. You don't need a great credit rating either. You just need to want it and you need to ask for it. Call 1-800-524-4284 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-4284 in the next 30 minutes and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-4284. That's 1-800-524-4284. Again, that's 1-800-524-4284.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show, where we're talking about real money made from real estate. And we got another great real estate investor here in the studio talking to us about his success story. Earl, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you very much, man. I'm so glad you took some time coming to the studio and talk to the listeners about real estate investing and how you got into it. And guys, I'm telling you what, you are in for a treat today, as we have a very, very sophisticated investor. And he actually invests in things that I don't. And so me personally, as the president of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, I'm very excited to hear about because this subject of multifamily, commercial type of real estate, apartment complexes, I absolutely love. He's done and has been part of thousands and thousands of them. He's got some going on right now. Very excited to dive into this. Before we get there, Earl, I want to back up for the listeners here, and let's talk about a little bit about your background. You know, where did the real estate come from? I want to talk about your very first deal you got into, and then let's go ahead and skip ahead and talk about multifamily on some other segments here. So what made you get into, per se, the real estate investing?
Well, my dad was a builder.
Okay.
So I was probably 6-7 years old, and dad used to take me to work with him.
Sure.
Used to hang around and do crazy things and throw rocks with my cousins and all, just that kind of stuff. But I grew up, at one point I ran a framing company, doing houses for my dad. I eventually went to college and I said, I really need some financial education, to be able to do this better. When I graduated, I was hoping to go into the building business, and okay, I ended up in a property management internship in California. And I really learned investing from doing for other people is where I really learned the ins and outs of running real estate properties.
So, you know, this is what I love about interviewing so many of the NARI members here. Of course, Earl's a NARI member. And if you're listening for the first time, NARI stands for the National Association of Real Estate Investors. He's a member here at NARI. And what I love about interviewing the success stories of members is that their backgrounds are so vastly different. I mean, we've had everybody from government workers to, you know, you name it, investors that fell into their lap and they just started investing. And now we have someone that, a member of NARI here, that actually sort of grew up in the building industry from a childhood. His father owned this building company. And it's just unique, you know, if you really stop and think about it as we cover these success stories, all the different angles that people have taken to become a real estate investor. I absolutely love talking about this. So Earl, let's get back into the story here. So you grew up around building. Your dad was a builder. Was he doing single family homes?
Yeah, single-family homes and developing lots.
Okay, so building new construction of single-family homes. You grew up seeing it, doing some framing work. I'm sure you did a little bit of everything while your dad was probably there working with you and so forth. So you learn a little bit about the building process during this time. You go off to college because you want some financial education. And now this is interesting because I wrote this down in my notes as I was listening to you. You took an internship in California for a property management company.
Correct. It was through the Institute of Real Estate Management.
Okay.
It was a great program. They like the National Association of Realtors for Property Managers. And,
okay.
And I started in the office, learned to do a few things, and eventually they put me out. And I ran a few small commercial buildings and a couple of apartment buildings. And it really learned the ins and outs of running numbers and dealing with investments from dealing with other people who were owning properties. It was really, really a great opportunity for me.
Yeah, I love this right here because it sort of ties into a little bit of what I did. I'm going to cover in just a second. But when you were an intern, if you don't mind me asking, do you remember, was that a paid internship? Did you make money off of it? Or was that literally a straight internship when you started?
It was paid. They paid me. It was pretty minimal. I mean, you know, to go across country, it was $15 an hour or something like that. I had to pay for my own apartment. So it didn't feel like I got paid. I ate a lot of ramen.
Yeah, for sure. And I love this because let me jump in here because I think this is important for the listeners to understand. Sometimes in real estate, you need to take a step, if you will, backwards before going forward. And I know for me, you know, when I went through my bubble and my burst and I lost everything, you've heard my story before, I made a lot of money, collapsed in 2007 era. I lost everything, moved to my parents' basement. I basically, Earl, went and did the same thing when I started over. I went and took a measly, I think mine was $12 an hour, from a real estate investor that had about 600 units. And I just said, fine, I'm gonna, you know, I want to stay in this industry. I need to learn more about it. I want to figure out what I did wrong. And I put in about a year of my life working for about $12 to $15 an hour, but I was willing to take a step backwards so that I could move forward. And I think it's a sacrifice that some of the listeners need to understand. If you're going to go really full time and go all in, there is that potential that you have to take a pay cut from what you're doing to be able to move forward. Am I right by saying that, Earl?
Oh, absolutely. I had to pay my own way to get down there to be there, and was really, really lucky that they hired me full time at the end of it to stay there. But what the best experience of my life.
The
experience I got from there was absolutely invaluable.
It was really, you'll never be able to pay for that. And I felt the same way when I did it. It's not the course for everybody, but it is an option out there. Guys, I want to take a quick break here. I want to come back and talk about Earl, his very first property. I want to get into multifamily. He's got some over 80,000 managed units he did at one time as a vice president of a REIT. Right after this break, come right back. We're going to hear Earl talk about commercial development as well as multifamily.
Listen up, America. Are you interested in discovering proven real estate investment techniques that can create life-changing wealth? Andrew Cordell, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, has just published a brand new Amazon best-selling book to give you a market edge on making money in your own backyard. In his book, Cashflow Finish Line, you'll quickly learn the top 12 strategies for making money in real estate today. Discover how to do profitable deals that don't require you lift a paintbrush, but give you fixed returns that can create cash flow and long-term wealth. Call 1-800-524-1365 now to get Andrew's new book absolutely free. Andrew's sponsors are now helping to pay for shipping and handling. You just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Plus, as a bonus, call 800-524-1365 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Learn and earn with Andrew Cordell by calling 1-800-524-1365. That's 1-800-524-1365 to get your free book today.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate, from a real investor we have in the studio today with us. Earl Klein is in the studio. Earl, it's glad to have you back on this next segment, talking about your success story. And I'm so excited to talk to you in the break about this multifamily stuff, which I am so intrigued with. So let's get back into your story just for a little bit. And then I want to reintro you to the listeners now about the your background and your credentials, because it's very important to me that my listeners know how established you are as a multifamily commercial investor. So here you are. Let's pick the story back up. Your dad's a builder. You're hanging out there as a young man, as a kid, child. You grew up on the construction sites. You go off to college. We talked about you became an intern in California for a property management company, sort of taking a step back so that you could move forward. That's where you learned the ropes of so much stuff that you know now. Now, when do you buy your first investment, or tell us about that first investment that you make when you are out in California?
Well, we actually bought a personal home to live in.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about how we did that is I took some of the things I learned in college about how the banks respond, the capital reserves that they have to. In other words, banks typically, they don't want to negotiate on a property in October or November. They always want to negotiate at the end of the quarter. And so we started with this house making offers. We were about $35,000 apart. And I just didn't give up. I kept coming back and coming back. And finally, after 2 months or so, on the 12th of December, they called me back up and said, hey, congratulations. You know, if you still want the property, they're going to give it to you for your price, which is about, you know, again, about $30,000 discount over what they were asking for this property, all on the condition that I could get it financed by the end of the year.
Now, let me jump in here before you go for much further, because I want to give the listeners, you know, you're referencing you bought a bank property. You know, just for the listeners out there, a lot of times they call that, you'll hear the terminology nowadays called REO, which stands for real estate owned, which is basically a bank foreclosure that you're negotiating straight from the bank with. And that's what you're referring to here. Is that correct, Earl?
Correct.
Okay, so you buy this, take this back. You have found an REO property, a bank owned foreclosure, and you and your wife, and did you have kids at the time?
We did.
So you, your wife, your children, you guys are wanting to get into your first property, your first home, and you find this foreclosure, and because of your background, you understood that it would help you by knowing when to negotiate, because it is very true. A lot of banks want to unload inventory in December because they don't want that negative weight basically going over in their books in the new year. You start negotiating in October, if I understand your story right, and the purchase price of this property started off at what price in October?
They wanted 165.
Okay, so it started off at $165,000 purchase price in October, and you negotiated the whole time. You basically stayed in touch with them and kept negotiating October, all of October, all of November.
My price was 135. I kept telling them, "This is what I got to have. I can't make it work if I don't get it at least for $135,000."
Interesting. So another great point for the listeners there, as you're learning about real estate, is he went in, he knew his price. This was his price set at 135. He had run the numbers on it, and this was what he was going to pay. And if that means he actually lost the house, that's okay, because it would change it from maybe a good deal to a bad deal, which is a really important lesson for the listeners to learn, is making sure you know what your numbers are and don't just go up just to go up, but these are my numbers and this is where I have to be. So you started off at 135, which is you knew that was your number, and all of October, all of November, you never changed from it.
Correct. I kept coming back and then, hey, you know, it's still on the market. You know, are you guys considering my offer? And like I said, they called me up on the 12th of December and he said, if you can get it financed, which was very difficult, by the way, to get it financed in 2.5 weeks in December. But we were able to do it, luckily, and we bought ourselves a very, very nice house. We ended up, I spent about 3 weeks. We gutted, you know, doors and carpets and took wallpaper off. We didn't spend a ton of money. I didn't have to put kitchen cabinets in and that type of thing at that point. But we did spend about $8,000, $8,000 to $9,000, something like that. And we were able to sell it when we got done. I ended up getting transferred back up to Sacramento at the time. And so I was able to sell this for about 165,000. So we made pretty good money, and we were only there in the house for probably 2 months.
Wow, 2 months. So again, great story here, guys, as you're listening to Earl, as he talked about, he's buying his first REO. He stuck with his price at 135. They moved into the property. He did all the work on it, sold it for profit about 2 or 3 months later, and made a nice chunk of change. Now, I want to skip ahead right before this break, Earl, because what we're going to do when we come back from the break, we're going to spend the entire show talking about some multifamily current deals you have going on right now that you're rehabbing. I want to dive into this multifamily right after the show. Guys, if you want to know more about real estate investing and become a member, just like Earl's in the National Association of Real Estate Investors, simply call in right now. Pick up the phone and call in just to get more information. 1-800-537-3440. Again, that's 1-800-537-3440 to learn more how you can become a member just like Gnarl at only a dollar a day. Right after break, we're going to come back and talk about Earl's current multifamily deal he has going on right now.
The problem with the American dream is waking up in your 40s stuck in a nightmare, working too many hours for too little money. What if you could break that cycle, supplement your income, and actually sock away some money for retirement? Or better yet, be your own boss. Keep more of what you make because you're working for you. Well, now you can, and people just like you are doing it right here in Making Money Now Without Risking Any of Their Own Money. Find out how in Andrew Kordel's brand new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line. The cost? Zero. Andrew has arranged for his sponsors to help pay for shipping and handling. Just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Live the American dream on your terms, starting with a simple phone call. Call 1-800-524-0720 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-0720 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-0720 now. That's 1-800-524-0720.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Andrew Kordel Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate, and I've got a great investor here, member of NAREIT, Earl Klein. Earl here has been a vice president of a REIT, which is a publicly traded REIT that managed over 80,000 units across the United States. He was also the regional manager for a development company where they flipped over 2,500 doors inside of multifamily. He's also built new construction multifamily, which means they just went and cleared the lot and built up a couple hundred units as new construction. So anything that has to do with the commercial management side of multifamily, he has done. I want to turn it over to you, Earl, and talk to us about the current deal you have going on and how someone such as the listeners could get involved and understand multifamily like you do.
Well, first of all, when it comes to income generating property, if you're talking about a house that you rent out or you're talking about a 500 unit, or I manage as much as a 1,000 unit apartment complex in the past, and it's all the same. They're just bigger numbers, but the right. But the ratios are all the same. So you asked me earlier, you know, what numbers do you use when you get started?
Well, so
the formula that you use, the very first thing, if you brought me a single family house or a 200 unit apartment building to look at, I'm going to use the 1% rule, which basically says that my monthly rent needs to be at least 1% of whatever I pay for the property. With a house, that's easy to do.
Right.
You pay $100,000 for it, you get $1,000 a month rent, it'll probably work. With apartments, what you're looking at is you're breaking them down into price per unit. So $35,000 a door, $80,000 a door. And then I'm going in and I'm looking at what my monthly rents are. And if I can get $800 a month monthly rent, then my $80,000 a door will work.
Now, let me step right here because obviously this is a deep subject. But when you talk about the 1% rule, you're talking about the total amount of rent collected versus the purchase price of that property, correct?
Exactly. It just makes – what we want to do when we buy apartments or any other commercial property is make sure that there's enough money, rent coming in,
cash
to
flow.
to pay the expenses and to pay the mortgage.
Now, in a situation like this with a multifamily, does that price – is the 1% – versus of rent versus the purchase price. Does that include if you had to rehab that property as well?
No. It'd be all your all-in price. So if I spend $80,000, another $20,000 fixing it up, then that's $100,000.
That's $100,000 purchase price because
correct.
You're going to add the rehab into it. Therefore, your rent in a situation where $80,000 purchase, $20,000 rehab, your rent would have to be 1% or $1,000 a month.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay, awesome. So obviously, if you want to scale that up, you can scale that same process up all the way up to a 200, 300, 1,000 unit apartment complex. You're looking for that 1% cash flow off of your purchase price and rehab of the property.
Correct.
Awesome. Okay, great information for the listeners. Now, tell us about this multifamily deal you have going on right now.
Recently, I formed a partnership. We raised private equity capital, a lot of retirement money.
Sure.
And we invested into apartments. I learned to do this when I was with Fairfield, the development company. Essentially, there's a rule of thumb. We buy properties for cash flow, but I'm going to tell you, you don't make very much of your money on cash flow.
Interesting.
The way you make money in commercial properties is you buy, get somebody else to pay for it, and get the property to go up in value.
Okay, so it's really an equity play that you're also playing alongside the cash flow play.
Exactly. And what I teach people, the beauty of apartments or any type of commercial property is if I can force income, I can force the value of the property to go up. So when I look at a property, I look at, will it cash flow today? Does it meet the 1% rule? And then the second thing I look at is average rents are $500 a unit. And I look at the market and can I get 7 or 8
right.
or 9? There's a rule of thumb that says that for every dollar I increase my rent on a monthly basis, I add $150 of additional value.
Wow.
If you're in a, and that's in an 8% cap rate market.
So say that again. For every dollar you raise the rent,
your
monthly rent per unit, that is an increase of equity of $150 of forced appreciation on this unit.
Correct.
Wow.
It's a simple formula. It's your NOI formula. You know, you're taking NOI divided by a cap rate. So $12 divided by 0.08 is going to equal $150. You can do it on your calculator. It's mathematically sound. And so I have a couple of deals right now. One of them, we bought it at a 5 cap, which if you know anything about cap rates, it's kind of an average deal. In fact, a lot of people told us we couldn't make the deal work.
Yeah, it's pretty average right now.
Because of the area that it's in, we were able to raise the rents from $600 a month to
$950. Wow. So you went from $600, which when you bought the property, they were at $600 a month rent. You raised those up to $950.
Yeah.
In rent. Now, did you have to do any work on these properties to get them up there, or they're already rented out?
Yeah, we're spending about $25,000 a unit.
Okay.
We've got new cabinets. We've got granite countertops. We've got washer and dryers.
So this, when you bought this property, this multifamily, was basically a rehab property you had to rehab as well?
Yes.
Did you have to rehab all 6 units?
Yes.
Okay, so it was a vacant unit, a vacant apartment complex you bought. What was the purchase price on it?
Well, it wasn't vacant. We had people living in there. That's why it had a 5 cap. We paid $500,000 for it.
Okay.
We're going to put $150,000 into it.
Did you have to move out the people, or how did that work for you?
Yeah, we gave them notice. We had to find the ones that weren't on leases first, the month-to-month tenants, and we asked them to leave. We just gave them a notice in accordance with state law.
Sure, absolutely. So you bought this property for $500,000. When you're done with it, what will be the new appreciation price?
About $1,050,000.
$1,050,000.
Yep.
You know, and the crazy thing is, and you know this as well, Earl, I'm in the buy, fix, sell business. To do that many flips to make that much money is a whole lot of single family homes to be able to generate that much of equity of profit inside of a deal. And you also have the cash flow inside of this versus on a flip, you don't have any cash flow. It's actually all negative cash flow when you're doing the flip. Earl, I absolutely love this. I got to have you come back. I know it's sort of an inconvenience to be here, but I'm sure the listeners, as well as the NARI members and myself, were very intrigued in this. Can you make a commitment to come back on the show for a couple shows and do some 1-hour segments with the listeners here?
Oh, absolutely.
Man, that would be great. I'm so intrigued about this real estate, this multifamily 1% rule. I mean, this is new. The dollar of rent equals 150 of equity. I have so many questions. I'm sure the listeners do as well. If you want to know more about real estate and the 12 different strategies of real estate, including this one, you can get a free copy of my Amazon bestselling book, The 12 Strategies of Real Estate Investing. Simply call 1-800-537-3440. The book is free. It's only $1.95 for shipping and handling, and you can have your very own copy. Again, 1-800-537-3440. We covered this strategy and many other strategies inside of real estate. Again, Earl, thank you so much for your time stopping in the studio today. To the listeners out there, same time, same place tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you on the Andrew Corder Real Estate Radio Show.
Thanks for listening to the Andrew Corder Show, where we earn real money in real estate. For more information, go to www.andrewcordell.com.